Welcome to the White Hats and Lab Coats podcast, presented by the Biohacking Village. Each episode will explore DIY bio, citizen science, and medical device security with guests from the healthcare, cybersecurity research, and biohacking communities.
I love it. It's beautiful.
Hey everyone, this is Seth Rosenblatt. I'm a cybersecurity journalist. I've been writing about cybersecurity and privacy for over a decade now. And I'm very honored to be here to introduce to you all the hosts of the Biohacking Village podcast, Nina and Bo.
Yeah, so my name is Bo Woods. I run the Biohacking Village Device Lab, where we bring all the medical devices and security researchers to find new vulnerabilities and to work with device makers to improve the state of healthcare cybersecurity. I got started really early on in my career with security as well as healthcare. My first job out of college was I worked at a hospital doing a lot of technical security stuff. And I remember really fairly early on in my career, I got a call from doctors in the natal intensive care unit. And they said, hey, look, I know this isn't your job, but our medical devices are down right now. And every time they come back on briefly, they have a Windows logo. And I wondered if you could take a look at them. Fetal heart monitors. So the things wow. that monitor the premature babies, some of the most vulnerable patients in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I tried was to call the medical device maker, see if they could help. They were unwilling to because they said they believed it was some piece of malware. And they couldn't help support doing anything to fix those. So along with my boss at the time, we drafted up a letter to the CEO of the hospital outlining the problem, what we proposed to do about it, and consequences of doing nothing versus doing something. The CEO signed off on it, and I actually used a hacker toolkit called the Metasploit Framework to get into the medical devices the same way that the malicious software did. I installed the fix that the malware was using to spread, got rid of it, and then turned the devices back over to the doctors so they could keep using them to save babies' lives.
Nina, can you talk a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I have worked at most of the hospitals in New York City. I started out doing training actually for electronic medical records because they had just come out in, I think this was 2006 when I started to work on that. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the electronic medical record is the epitome of all of the information because that's where all of the medical device information goes so that everybody can see everything. So I worked on the electronic medical record and by happenstance ended up working on all the other things around it. And at that point, they were still kind of implementing all of the electronic medical records and there weren't really laws around anything yet. So it was just, you know, you can do this, right? Okay, high five. You got this.
And right in on the deep end.
Right. So yeah. And so just part of this was I ended up doing a master's, the hospital I was working in. I was starting to do nursing and they were like, oh, you're doing this, but we need this. Can we send you to school for informatics, biomedical informatics? So I did that. And while I was learning all of that stuff, there were all these laws that were starting to come down about how the electronic medical records were supposed to be, how all the devices were supposed to be, how the technology and how the security was supposed to be set up. So I started working on some of the policy internal to the hospitals, to the different sites to get things done. That was just, it was overwhelming. It was compelling. It was that thrust of, oh, technology's coming into medicine. Awesome. Oh, in a really fast and just haphazard, we got to do this fashion. Uh-huh. We're in. Let's get this.
Wow. And so nowadays, what is your connection to biohacking and the medical device space?
Yeah. So I'm the executive director of the Biohacking Village. And as Bo mentioned, we have a device lab, we have a speakers lab, and we have a hands-on lab. And our primary place of work is at DEF CON, which is in Las Vegas every year. And we're trying to open up that biomedical ecosystem to all of the attendees, all of the attendees being information technologists, information security people, patients, right? Because everyone is a patient. We're bringing in doctors, physicians, regulators. Everybody is invited to this.
And, you know, having been to the Biohacking Village, I think I've been every time since you guys have been doing it. It's always impressed me at how much it's grown every year.
Yeah.
And what's the need here? And what are you two looking to achieve with the podcast?
Within the healthcare ecosystem itself, there's a historic distrust, I think, that's changing between medical device makers, the FDA, and other regulators, hospitals, the security research community. And so the Biohacking Village and this podcast are meant to try and pull those disparate groups together to help improve the ability for caregivers to deliver life-saving treatment to patients, as well as to advance the state of cybersecurity, but also of science and knowledge in areas where maybe some of the traditional research arms haven't really taken us.
So I want to add to that.
Sure.
So the Biohacking Village has actually been around for 6 years. I've run it for 5 of those 6 years. And the origins of it were primarily in the citizen science, DIY bio self-work sort of thing. And we've expanded, because every year that we've worked on this, we've had to question, so what's new, what's exciting, but what's going to help the ecosystem be better? So
sure.
As we've gone through this, we went from just a speakers village of 9 speakers in 2014, I think. I usually get my years wrong, so just for clarity, to this last year having 3 different rooms for speakers, for hands-on things, so people can experiment with what people are doing at home, and having the devices with all of the medical device manufacturers in your face and having a conversation rather than not getting any information via responsible disclosure emails.
Let's take one moment to step back for a second. What does biohacking even mean?
It's DIY bio, it's biotechnology, it's biosecurity, because those are the overarching parts of biomedical and biohack.
I look at a lot of biohacking as kind of extending the forefront of knowledge in the medical sphere, in healthcare security, as well as in the what's possible for us to do and to explore and experiment with.
I want to add to that, because there was a really beautiful phrase that somebody said last year about who biohackers are, and it's the full stack biotechnologist.
Huh.
So I'm going to give that quote to Steve Lewis. That's his. That was his wording, and I absolutely fell in love with it.
Can you talk a little bit about some big biohacking stories that have either impacted you or you have seen impact other people over the past couple of years?
Yeah, in the kind of healthcare cybersecurity research arena, about a decade ago, a security researcher named Jay Radcliffe, who is a diabetic, found that his insulin pump was vulnerable to potential attacks. He was also a security researcher, so he looked into this. And the things that he found kind of scared him and shocked him to the point where he stopped using that device.
That sounds bad for him.
Yeah, you know, personally bad for him. When he tried to get awareness about this issue, he was dismissed or threatened, and so he felt like his research, his work, could save others' lives, could potentially help them make smarter decisions.
Given the community nature of the Biohacking Village and what you guys are working towards, what's your vision? Where's this going in the next year?
Yeah, we want to create a safe space for some of these conversations that haven't been happening among all the ecosystem players to come together and start having these dialogues. we're literally at the forefront of multiple concurrent revolutions in healthcare, and none of those can happen safely at the pace they need to without bringing everyone into the conversation. So that's what we want the Village to do, and that's what we want our podcast, White Hats and Lab Coats, to be able to do as well.
I love that.
Great. Yeah. Any last words, Nina?
I love everything he just said. It's also the creation of that extended community. We all meet for those 3-4 days in DEF CON, and then we're all Twitter friends, but this is having a normalized conversation, something like, if you were in DEF CON in the hallway, you met this person, what would you say? How would you ask them? What would you be interested in?
Great. I think what you guys are doing is really exciting. I'm excited for the podcast. I'm certainly going to be listening on a regular basis.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the White Hats and Lab Coats podcast, presented by the Biohacking Village. Join the community conversation and expand your gray matter on Twitter at @DC_BHV. And get transcripts, links, and show notes at whitehatslabcoats.org.